You just need to keep going.
Are we on?
I don't remember that song.
I can't believe that you didn't remember that song. Okay, were you a bigger fan of Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, or Jessica Simpson?
Probably Christina. She's probably the better singer out of the three.
Probably the better singer.
Yeah.
Britney was kind of jumped onto the scene first.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson did a really good job of like being casual about it, but then hooked up with Lachey and got her own.
Got the TV show, which was an entertaining show, just making fun of. Like now, I think it's a little ridiculous, but essentially it just was a half hour talking about how dumb she was or her playing up.
Or her playing towards the.
What was it? The chicken of the sea. She's like, chickens don't swim. I don't get it.
So she said, is what I'm eating chicken or tuna? That's what she said. Oh, man, I thought she was awesome. I was a bigger Jessica Simpson fan of the three.
All right.
And I was trying to sing that song for you, and I said, do you remember her song? I'm going to love you forever.
I don't remember the song.
And then you forced me to sing it.
I didn't force it. Like, nobody forces you to sing ever.
Well, I would sing it, but I don't want to be on happy hour coming up on Friday.
Those vocal cords of yours want to run. Man, they're always down for a song.
Man, but those are three. They were three incredible powerhouses. All three of them did a great job. But you take Christina
probably.
Aguilera.
We brought it up because Christina Aguilera released her song Genie in a Bottle 22 years ago today, June 22nd, 1999. So get ready to feel old, everybody.
I believe that Jessica Simpson was the only one of the three to act in a major movie, though.
What movie was she in?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, I thought you said Christina Aguilera. Okay.
Did I say Christina?
Maybe,
I meant Jessica.
I but yeah. I think Britney was in a couple movies, wasn't she?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
She was the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
She was on that.
Aguilera was in that, too.
I didn't know that.
I think, what's his name? The guy that was in Sync that everybody... That's
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, I think he was in there, too.
Boy, Britney Spears broke his heart.
Or was it the other way around?
No, it was Britney broke his
Britney
heart.
Broke it up?
Yeah. Yeah, Justin, he wanted forever with her.
Oh, poor little dude.
Don't call him poor little dude. I think he's doing okay.
I think
okay.
He's done just fine, yeah.
I think he's living his best life right now.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is we're waiting for David Locke to join us.
Do some jazz season wrap up with David and talk about some of the finer details of the conclusion of the season. Still a heartbreaker.
Doesn't feel right that it's over. I'm with you on that. I feel like Justin Timberlake after Britney said we're done. I'm like, really? I thought we had some more time left.
You're going to write a song about it called Cry Me a River?
Cry Me a River, yes.
That was what came next.
David Locke joins us right now on the Smart Rain guest line. It's no mystery. Utah is in an extreme drought. That's why Smart Rain is the solution for any commercial property concerned about water consumption while managing irrigation. Find out more at smartrain.net. David, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
Hey, David.
I'm good, guys.
All right. So you had a podcast on the and I apologize. I've not had a chance to listen to it, but it's something I'll probably listen to on my way home because of the essentially the Mike Conley dilemma with the team. How do you think the Jazz can go about trying to find a way to bring him back?
I mean, they can bring him back by paying.
Well, yeah.
You know. Well, so the first thing is you have to find out if Mike Conley wants to come back.
True.
Like, I always think we forget that in free agency. So the first issue at hand, and I don't have any reason to believe he doesn't want to come back, but I do think that that's the first thing that you have to address is, you know, Mike. Does Mike want to spend another year in Utah? Does Mike, you know, want to spend another year on the Jazz? Like, those are the first two questions. And, you know, he was noncommittal, and frankly, the Jazz were relatively noncommittal other than Quinn in their pressers. So, I mean, I'm sure the Jazz would love to have him back, probably not at $30 million. And so, you know, if you can jump through the first hurdle, it's really multi-layered. I mean, so your question is how do the Jazz get him back? I mean, the Jazz get him back by making a better offer than anyone else and paying a mammoth luxury tax.
Well, I guess that's the follow-up, though. Are the Jazz ready to pay massive luxury tax?
Yeah, I mean, or I think the Jazz are ready. I think Ryan's proven that. I think the other question is, like, is it smart? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, $40 million. And I mean, it's really layered. Like, and I don't actually have any answers to the questions. But, you know, the first question probably the Jazz have to answer is not whether they're willing to pay luxury tax. And I think Ryan's shown this year he's willing to pay it. Is whether or not if your team, you know, you really have a 2-year window here, right?
Yeah. Like,
Donovan in 2 years suddenly has got pretty good leverage. So, you know, is Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert enough?
Something you got to ask yourself if you're Ryan.
And do you have mechanisms by which to improve your roster that you can do if you re-sign Mike Conley? Do you have mechanisms to rebuild, to improve your roster if you don't re-sign Mike Conley? That's not easy either. You know, because you don't just get the salary slot. And then, you know, the other angle is, you know, what are your other assets that you could move and trade, and how would they fit? And what can you get for them, and how do they fit with Mike Conley? So you don't want to, like, sign Mike Conley and then find out you could trade something, a piece that you're willing to trade for a piece that complements Donovan better than Mike Conley.
If you could look into your crystal ball, what do you believe Mike Conley's contract will look like wherever he lands?
You know, I have no idea, because I think at his stage of his career, there's one of two scenarios. Like, one is he could try to get the money in a sign and trade somewhere, and then, you know, if he's going to play 55 games, I think is probably what you have to kind of project him to play, maybe 60. You know, his hamstring injuries is coincidental or not, that one happened in the 21st game and the other happened in the 23rd game of the season when he played consecutively, and then never again does he ever play more than about 5 or 6 games in a row. So when that happens, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's just data. Like, you can decide what you think of it. So, you know, Bobby Marks had that he's about an $18 million player, and that, you know, the average 15th best point guard in the NBA gets about $20 million. He was an all-star this year, so he's going to think he's worth more than that. But then again, he's not playing 82 games, so, you know, you'd have to figure. I don't have any idea. The other thing is, does he just decide that there's a place he wants to live and play and have that life experience and go for a championship for the mid-level or the luxury mid-level? And he's made so much money that it doesn't matter to him if he's getting 2-year 36 or 2-year 14. Or to, you know,
yeah,
maybe that would matter to most people. But if you've already made a few hundred, maybe you don't care about that last 24 at the end. And so, does he take the mid level at the Lakers and doesn't want to come back anyway? Just wants to go play with LeBron and AD and be the perfect, you know, he'd be pretty perfect for them, like a calming influence, different than Dennis Schroeder. Does he decide he wants to go play for the Clippers? It'd be pretty great for them. You know, I think they like Reggie Jackson, but Mike could compliment them. Does he decide he wants to go play with Luka? Like, I don't know. Like, is there an Eastern Conference team that he thinks he'd be a nice compliment to? Who knows? But, you know, in that case, then he's just taking a mid-level exception. If he's staying with the Jazz, he's going to want more than that.
David Locke joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. When I was doing some Jazz pre-app and post with Tom Nosalke, he always mentioned at the end of the season when he was a coach, he never really did a big locker room clean out. He said, look, players were tired of me. I was tired of them. We can do this another time. Just go. Be gone. And I don't know if that was the reasoning behind why the Jazz just said, hey, look, you know, we can talk another time. Just go your separate ways. But I can't imagine how difficult that season was, how it ended, all of that. The mental anguish of losing that series the way they did after a long, hard-fought season. How long does it take for a team to get over something like that?
Or do they?
That's probably a better question, yeah.
You know, 2 years in a row, you've had a lead and didn't close out a series, different reasons each time. I'm sure there'll be some self-doubt and group doubt that this group did not have in the past.
David, do you think that the front office sits around, looks at themselves and says, okay, just talking about Mike Conley, the possible re-signing, what they can do there, do you think they sit around and say, all right, let's work this out as accurately as we can. If Mike Conley stays healthy, are we in the Western Conference Finals right now? And are we a contender with the Suns? Do you think that they're having that conversation of, well, a little bad luck and a little injury, this is what happened to us, but this is what we could have been if we didn't have bad luck?
I mean, don't you feel like we're better than Mike Conley at full health, or we're better than any of the four teams? Realize that Atlanta, the Clippers without Kawhi, Phoenix, or Milwaukee's about to win a title.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's part that's the kick in the groin in all of this.
Right. Even a third time.
Yeah, is that the window was open?
Yeah, that actually wasn't a window. It was like a big, huge, automotive door.
But that door shuts fast.
Right, and then someone didn't put the little thing to hold it up, and it came clamoring down. Here's the question I actually have on this. So the league was heading toward much more parity and a little less super teamy in the new collective bargaining agreement. And then there was the TV spike. And Kevin Durant went to Golden State and they built their mega team. They didn't win every year, but they won a lot. So what's happened since then? Right? Like Cleveland's got one, Golden State's got one, Toronto's got one, Lakers got one, someone else is going to get one, right?
Yeah.
Have we ever had a stretch in the history of the NBA where five different teams won five titles in 5 years?
Not that I could think of.
I don't
of.
Think so.
In fact, you're hard-pressed to remember a lot of one-offs.
So this leads me to believe that there's maybe a quantum change either based on play, collective bargaining agreement, magnitude of talent. I don't know exactly why, but I think there's something much bigger going on here in the league that is a level of parity where, to Hans's point, you kind of really actually have a shot, right? Like, you didn't have a shot when LeBron was sitting in Cleveland at 28 years old. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a shot when the Warriors had Durant, Steph, and Clay.
But
I kind of think, like, there's 12 teams that can go in the year next year thinking you have a shot.
I'm with you, but maybe injuries are so much a part of the league right now that's something you count on every year, because let's be honest, if KD and Clay are healthy, they beat Toronto. And if they're all healthy, they probably come out of the West and win in the bubble the next year.
Right. And if Brooklyn's healthy, they probably win. Or if Joel Embiid's knee's healthy, maybe they win.
So I guess maybe that's the world we're living in. The injuries are going to impact this thing every year.
That it's so even that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think there's like six teams that can make a claim they should have won it this year.
Yeah.
Lakers think if they're healthy, they would have won it. Jazz think they should have won it. Philadelphia thinks they should have won it. Brooklyn thinks they should have won it. Denver was going to win it if Jamal Murray didn't get hurt. And you got four teams playing. So maybe we have a whole new ball game where there's 9 or 10 teams that are actually just in contention to win the championship every year. And you build the best team you can and see what happens. Like, it's interesting to me on what the Clippers did to the Jazz. I feel like half of what the Clippers did to the Jazz we should be concerned with, and the other half is they were unique. And you better be really careful not build your whole entire roster just to try to deal with something that you happen to run into the one team that could do to you.
Yeah.
Hey, David, how much more physically demanding is it putting effort out on the defensive side of the ball in basketball than it is offensive side of the ball? How much more physically exhausting is it or demanding is it?
That's an interesting question. Hans, I don't know. I'm not an athlete like you are, but like, one's actually moving backwards, one's moving forwards most of the time, right?
Yeah.
Isn't one much more demanding than the other? Like, our bodies are made to move forward. Maybe you didn't mean it from a kinesiology standpoint, but that's how I took it. Like,
well, yeah, and I've always felt that the reactive nature of any type of sport is always going to be more physically demanding.
I think the injuries are because we make these guys play defense. They might not happen on the defensive end.
Yeah.
But the whole wear and tear and load management, go watch an 80s, 70s NBA game. That's why they didn't have load management and wear and tear. You just guard your guy, and your guy stood still most of the time. Now everyone's shifting and rotating and closing out, like closeouts. Is there anything harder on your legs than a closeout?
Can't be. The way you dive and then jam into the legs and then try to extend. It's a pretty exhaustive movement.
Yeah. So, I think the reason we have all these injuries is one is increased strength and torque on bodies that, you know, by definition haven't really changed other than our muscular composition over the last 50 years. And then if you watch an old game, and when they threw the ball in the post to Olajuwon, like one guy guarded him, another guy came and doubled, three guys stood still.
Yeah.
You know, I actually asked that question with a purpose. You know, I thinking about, like, let's say, you know, you got a crew of ditch diggers and you got one guy that's really good with the shovel and he's just shoveling, digging and digging and digging. And then you got the other guys that'll dig a little bit, but they go get the gear and they, you know, they're setting up the wire or whatever. But you got that guy that's just continually shoveling and he's looking around like, is anybody else going to do this? Is anybody else going to put their heart and effort and life and energy into this? Because I'm worried about Rudy Gobert's mental state of mind. I'm worried about his ability to look at his teammates and feel okay with what they're doing as compared to what he's doing. And I feel like in the long run,
you think Rudy Gobert should be a little upset that he became
the punchline
to the joke of all NBA fans for 48 hours when the story was that his teammates couldn't guard the ball.
Yes. He should be lit.
Because the guys on the perimeter couldn't stay in front of somebody. Rudy Gobert got put in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, and he took the brunt, and Rudy is very cognizant of what people are saying about him. Yes, 100%.
So think about the guy coming, and somebody's like, ha, look at this idiot, he's down here shoveling. And, you know, they're making fun of this guy that's actually put in the work. Like, it doesn't – to me, it equates to, like, a moment where I'm going to have a blow-up in the locker room with the guys around me and be like, this is because of you idiots. It'd be really difficult for me to handle.
So I talked to Rudy very little this year because we had very little interaction. One of the interactions I had – or interaction was based on how in the playoffs we'll prove – everyone wrong. These playoffs were particularly important to Rudy.
Dang. Well, I think that if you read between the lines on some of the things he said, I think it's pretty easy to see where he's at right now. And probably good to let him escape to wherever he needs to go for a while to decompress for a bit. Because he's earned it, for sure.
Yeah.
David. When you evaluate our players, I think this is like the really tricky one. How much do you evaluate them in a small capsule of 11 playoff games against two unique opponents? And how much do you evaluate them based on what they did over a 7-year two-game schedule?
Quite a bit more in the two series. Because
that'll be tough on a few people.
Because I constantly believe that the NBA regular season is teams managing, teams in different types of management situations. Like I think about that second game in back-to-back games with the Clippers in the regular season. That first game, no Kawhi, no Paul George, just a non-interested, you know, push. And then that second game, Paul George and Kawhi come back and it's like, hey, let's teach these guys what we're all about. Like that's kind of a microcosm of what the regular season feels like to me. So when I look at Memphis and the Clippers in a push like they were in the postseason, I do put more weight into that.
Whose opinion what your opinion changes on which players based on that? Who are you higher on or lower on based on that?
Coming through those two series?
Yeah.
Ooh. See, that's a tough one because Mike Conley against Memphis, you have to be higher on. And then, obviously, Mike Conley injury, it's like, well, he's getting older, so maybe I'm a little bit down on his ability to stay healthy in those crunch moments. Donovan, you'd be higher on. 32-point average through this last postseason.
Well, I mean, but you also, I mean, offensively, he gave you some great moments, and there was that key stretch where he was on fire in the second quarter, but Jordan Clarkson's defense was no bueno.
I'd be down on Joe Ingles, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, same.
High on Royce O'Neal.
Down on Niang. High on Royce. Yep. Yes, absolutely. Royce O'Neal, double-double in game six. He fought his butt off.
And he got put in some bad situations and responded well. So, yeah.
High on Rudy for me. I don't know. Other people might have their opinions out there, but I just feel like there's a bulk of work that needs to be done defensively, and if I'm the only one that's doing it at that level, every play, eventually I'm going to look around and say, hey, every one of you suckers better grab a shovel and get down in this trench and start digging with me.
Well, and there was a point where it felt like Rudy just kind of threw the shovel down and said, all right, you guys figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
There also could be a moment where someone turns around, looks at him, and goes, hey, by the way, you're getting paid $40 million for your freaking shovel, so keep shoveling and we'll keep scoring.
All right, David, I know we got to let you go, man. We kept you too long, but there you go.
All right.
David, thank you.
Thanks. David Locke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
But you could understand why you'd be pulling your hair out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just hope that Rudy understands that I know people were being hard on him, but it's not Rudy's fault, completely Rudy's fault, that Terrence Mann went off for 39 points. I'm telling you, watch Terrence Mann. He'll be 1 of 8 tonight from three.
Yeah.
I hope he goes off.
Well, it'd be nice if he did.
Make me feel better.
I just don't think it's going to happen. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break, come back, and you will hear number 52 in our top 60 and 60, the worst-kept secret of all the 60 and 60 today, and then another edition of Total Recall right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Steve Cleveland, our basketball insider.
The Jazz have really good players, but they need to continue to get better. Defensively, you need quickness and athleticism, and I'm not sure that they have that in the system right now. So I'm not saying we're going to get rid of Bogdanovich or Ingles, but we need to add, too. We need more people that can certainly continue to shoot the three like they do, but they can guard. That's what I would be looking for. They need a 6'8", 6'9", athletic guy that can go inside out but can guard. Doesn't have to be a great three-point shooter, but at least you got to keep guys honest. And you can switch everything with that kind of group. If they don't have that, that's what I'd be looking for.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, time for another selection in our top 60 and 60. We are down to number 52. All right, let's, all right, Longa.
I'm excited for this one.
I think a lot of people on Twitter already know who it is.
Yeah, but this isn't, you know, I know people can argue and say, oh, this is way too low for this kid. I don't think it is. I think it's right in the pocket.
It is who he's got a specialized set of skills.
Yeah.
He is who he is, and he makes the most out of it.
And he will use them to jump you.
Here's number 52.
This is the top 60 and 60. As The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're going to have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. The countdown returns to Provo to focus on the Cougars' Swiss Army knife offensive threat. He can line up at fullback, at tight end, and will even play special teams. There's no doubt his toughness will be vital to BYU this upcoming season. At number 52, from Brigham Young University, Mason Wake. Brigham Young University head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Mason Wake, tough. Love having fullbacks on the team, so he's got a great body for a fullback. And great soft hands, Doesn't mind jumping, even though I wish he just run people over. But he's just a great playmaker, great athleticism, and just has a strong presence, can really block.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Mason Wake coming in at number 52, a crowd favorite, a fan favorite.
That's actually a good thing to say about a fullback, though. He's got soft hands. Like you say that about you and I, and it's like, hey, let's fight.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
My wife said that to me once. She's like, your hands are getting soft. I'm like,
no, she did not.
Don't you dare say that in front of my dad.
I'm going to go grab the shovel and go dig some holes in the back, try to put some calluses back on those things.
You went straight out to the lathe.
Back in the day when I was moving hand lines, man, I had all kinds of good calluses on those hands.
She said that too?
Yeah, she said that.
Jenny, don't ever say that. That's
you move up to Bountiful, things happen.
All right, okay. Calm down over there. Stop.
Just saying.
I think telling a man that he's got soft hands would be the equivalent of like saying to a woman that's really self-conscious about hairy legs, being like, well, your legs are hairy. Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's kind of a shot, like, ow. Okay, well, I'll start working harder.
Really letting that armpit hair grow out, aren't you?
Caterpillar.
My goodness, you got razor blades on your legs? Oh, that's such a mean thing to say.
That was awful.
Put your hands over here.
Let me feel those hands. Get away.
Come on, Scotty.
Let's feel those
bear claws. Come on.
But saying it about a fullback.
That's one of the claws.
That's actually a compliment that just means that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And he is good at it.
Kalani's like, he's using a lot of moisturizer. Those hands are just silky smooth.
Hey, so he played in 12 games last year, Scotty.
Yeah.
He only had 8 catches, but had 114 yards receiving. So when he catches it, he makes something special.
Is there any yards after leap?
Yeah.
Stat for him.
I wish we did have a yards after leap or yards after contact for him. He was running people over. He's fun to watch when he gets the ball. And then he had 5 rushing attempts for 15 yards. He had 2 touchdowns on the ground and 1 touchdown through the air. And, you know, people, I'm sure Utah fans and Utah State fans are throwing their hands up like, wait a second, those stats, what? Those stats. Well, he did a lot of things in blocking. If you recall a lot of the breakdown videos that I did last year, it showed Mason coming downhill and blowing up a linebacker or blowing up an edge rusher or he was really good in chip help. So he did a lot of things inside the game that made BYU's offense better, and he should do that again this year.
I agree.
Like that, Mason Wake.
Great soft hands.
Stop it.
I'll send you the dry audio so you don't have the music behind it.
Doesn't mind jumping.
I would be like, I'd call him. I'd be like, Coach, what was with the breakdown for me, man?
Great soft hands.
And great soft hands.
Super good with the shiatsu massage.
And great soft hands.
Very delicate feet.
Yes.
Oh, man. We ought to take cuts of, like, the most awkward football descriptions that don't sound good in other and build like a description between the coaches.
A little montage
of
uncomfortable characteristics.
And great soft hands.
You could just run that 100 times.
What's going on with Mason Wake's hands?
What if that?
Doesn't mind jumping.
Although I wish he'd do it less.
He did say, although I wish he'd do it less. I just want him to run people over.
Doesn't mind jumping, even though I wish he'd just run people over. But
oh, boy.
Oh, man, that is good stuff. Man, it's so fun to sit down with these coaches and hear their takes on each of these players. And Kalani definitely lit up when I brought up Mason Wake. He was excited Mason was on the list because, obviously, Kalani's a former fullback, and that position means a lot to him. He was kind of looking at me like, you guys are actually going to recognize a fullback, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he has nice soft hands.
And great soft hands.
That was Kalani's hands.
Kalani had soft hands.
Did Kalani have soft hands back in the day?
He absolutely did. Kalani had soft hands.
All right.
And great soft hands.
I wonder if you said that about him. Like, hey, Kalani, you know the thing I remember about you? You had really soft hands. I wonder how well that would go over.
Now I wish you were at Media Day so you could ask that.
Kalani, let me see those hands. Are they still soft as they were when you played?
Okay, next time we have him on, you have to ask him.
Okay, I will.
By the way, it's time for Total Recall, brought to you by Angora Solutions. From concept to product launch, Angora can help you build a stable revenue stream via your own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out how at angora.solutions. All right, let's talk about the Jazz and Mike Conley and how much that involves team chemistry. And should the Jazz re-sign Mike Conley?
I think about the way they competed without him. As you mentioned, getting the first two wins at home against the Clippers before giving up a four-game sweep off the back end of this. And I keep telling myself, Hans, you gotta take a look at what they were, what they could have been. But, and that doesn't mean just keep everything as is. That's not what it means. You need to find that added depth, and you need to. But as far as, well, you know, you just can't win with a defensive-minded center that doesn't have a jump shot. Well, you just can't win when you've got a bulk shooter that, and you know, all these different angles that people are taking. It's like, no, stop. That you did win that way.
Yeah, you did.
In bunches, you won in that way, and you beat good teams that way. But I'm also of the belief that, no, everything can improve, and everything does need improvement. But that's what we've continued to see Justin Zanuck and Dennis Lindsay do with the additions of Bojan Bogdanović.
Yeah.
With the additions of Mike Conley and some others. Now, there's been some misses along the way, but I trust that those guys understand what the nucleus is. And then, Scotty, I just hope that the chemistry can hold. The bulk of the chemistry can hold.
Yeah, and that's I have a lot of concern about that too, because I think this team, and this is me completely on the outside looking in, I think this team needs some opportunity to decompress and get away from each other for a little bit. They they had the late run in the bubble where they blew the lead against Denver. Little turnaround time before you're back at it in camp, starting in December, playing 72 games. Great, awesome regular season. But then a really tragic end of the season in terms of being up 2-0, losing four in a row, injuries. And it just felt to me in kind of that four-game losing streak that things were getting a little snippy. And you look at the body language and you look at some of the subtle comments were made. I think it was a good time for for these guys to get away from each other. And who knows? Maybe that's why the Jazz said, look, we're not bringing everybody back and doing some massive locker room clean-out spectacle like we normally do. Just go. Just get out. You're tired of each other. We're tired of you. You're tired of us. Just go and get your vacations in, and then we'll let us all decompress, and we'll talk about this at a later date.
I could see that.
And
emotions high.
And it was probably, I think, a smart idea by Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck. And some of the brain trust to say, look, you know what? It has been a tough run. We'll tell you what you need to work on. We can do all that stuff via Zoom. We don't need you to come in and do something special. Let's just go. And if you want to stay here in L.A., stay in L.A. If you want to come back to Salt Lake, we'll get you back there. If you want to just catch a trip right to Cancun, let's just go and get away from each other for a little bit. Because it just kind of felt like that was 2 years in a row losing in a really dramatic fashion, kicked off by or wrapped up by blowing a 25-point lead in the third quarter. Hmm. And so
I could see what you're talking about.
But, you know, you get to your point, too, about, you know, running back. The Jazz right now are at $130 million already committed to next season. That is without Mike Conley. I mean, you take Mike Conley's 34 off the book, but then Rudy goes from $26 million to $34 million. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell goes from making $5 million to $28
million. $23 million job.
And so, I don't know, you know, you're going to have to look at trading Joe Ingles. You're going to have to look at taking Derek Favors off the books. Because those are probably, you know, Joe's at 12 and Derek Favors at 9. And so, that gets you to 21. Conley's going to need at least $20 million.
Plus.
Maybe more, honestly.
Yeah, 20 million plus. He showed a lot this in the regular season.
Yeah.
He showed a lot, and he was such an integral part of what the Jazz started to do when they were really clicking. If you think about it in terms, I know Chris Paul has had, I don't know, I don't even know if you'd say he's had a more successful career as a point, but obviously you would. I mean, yeah. Chris Paul is just one of a kind. Could be argued as one of the greatest of all time at the position. But you take him off the court, and you've got your Devin Bookers, and you got your Aitons, and your young superstars. It's much like what the Jazz just dealt with. We'll see if Phoenix can overcome it. But Phoenix isn't going to lose him for the first five games.
Yeah.
I would gotta suspect he'll be back by game three.
I would assume so. Yeah.
So it's not the exact situation, but we'll see if they can overcome it. But that's kind of what it was like to lose Mike. You talk about resigning him, man. I don't know. I think 20 on the short end.
Yeah, I do too, actually. It's going to be years, honestly. And that's, the Jazz can give him more years. But at his age and with the injury issues he's dealt with over the last 2 years, do you want to sign him to a four-year contract at 20 per?
No, I don't know.
There you go. Part of our conversation regarding Mike Conley, what the Jazz can do, what they hope to do. It's some difficult conversations for sure.
Man, I don't even know. Like, it's funny because I said I don't. At the end of that, I said I don't. But I go back and forth in regards to thinking what type of person Mike Conley is. He's such a great fit. I know that this area loves him. It took him a year to get settled in. But
year three with a player in Quinn Snyder's system is usually their best year, by the way.
Is it?
Typically, yeah. Joe Ingles jumped from like 38% from the three-point line to like 44%. Like, typically, year three is the money spot.
Is Mike Conley turning 35? Or is he turning 36? Because, year three in Quinn Snyder's system at age 26, is turning... Be turning 34. Okay, so turning 34 in October. Not quite as old as I thought, but still getting up there in years.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you sign him to a four-year? You got him till he's 38? Let's say at the end of the fourth
it's
year?
It's not going to be four, though. I bet it would be two and a player option.
Would he bite on that?
Probably. I guess it depends on the number, but there's no way I push it out to four with him.
When this player option that Chris Paul's working on right now, was that a two and a player option?
I think so.
Because Chris Paul's got people right where he wants them.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Paul could sign another lengthy contract.
But he's held up a little bit better than Mike Conley.
He has.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Wrap things up next with Jake Scott, Gordon Monson. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
I get why the fan base is grumpy. That is one heck of a way to lose not only a basketball game, but to lose a series.
I've seen a lot of fans being very angry and yelling for this and that, and others saying you're not being reasonable, blah, 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 back and forth. But they're really disappointed because these Jazz fans have invested a lot into their team, and the expectations were so high for this team. You start the series by winning two straight games, and then you drop four straight? After last year complaining about losing three straight and how much you had learned from that, you go out and lose four straight. That's a difficult thing for fans to absorb.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Too good. right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hope you all had a tremendous day. Wednesday, week half over, coming up tomorrow. Fun show today. This went by quick.
Really quick. So, the draft combine, is it completed for the day?
It's a good question. I have not been keeping track of it.
But you said that the so far, no, it, did you say so far or the tallest
as of,
measurement so far?
Chad Ford sent out a tweet, said the tallest player has been Nehemiah Chikeda, and the longest wingspan has been Nehemiah Chikeda.
At 7'4".
Yeah.
Man. Do you think he's going to be contributing in the NBA?
I think he's going to get a shot. A lot of it's going to be where he lands and the system he goes to.
I hope so, man.
Yeah, it's a good dude. All right, big show coming up next. Hans and Scotty, thanks for making us part of your day. Jake Scott, Gordon Monson, straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.